He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, guys, we have a couple of promo codes from a few of our fans and fans that have companies. So if you want to save 10% at Barrel Strength Systems, use promo code BEYOND, B-E-Y-O-N-D. Save 10% at Barrel Strength Systems on Instagram and on their website. And we also have Beyond the Bend 15, save 15% at Hard Life Fightwear on Instagram. All right, David, if you remember, take me back to the first time you remember seeing someone bend a piece of steel.
Long time ago. I suppose before I ever saw anyone bend steel, I got into grip firsthand. Back in 2002, I was at a fitness expo where they had a few different types of competitions, and I entered one of those body weight dip competitions. And at that expo, they had a venue where they had a few grippers from Cats and the Crush. They had the 1, 2, 3, and the 4. I tried the 1 and I got it, close to a couple of reps, but I couldn't quite get the 2. And it just caught me right there and then that, okay, well, grip is just a fascinating feeling of having a strong grip. So I bought a few grippers, searched on the internet, I found Gripboard. And then I think it was 2006 where I saw David Horn reverse bend for the first time. And it just looked so fascinating. I bought an Ironman bag of nails, tried it for myself, and got hooked right then and there.
Nice. Where did you see David do that reverse bend? Was that in person or online or something?
No, it was online. It was for one of the an old cert, one of his own certs. I've never found the video since, but it's like him bending, and then Elizabeth Horn is coaching him and like yelling at him at the same time.
Awesome.
So yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. So about how old were you when you started getting to bending?
I think I was 22.
Okay. First started. Did you grow up playing sports and lifting weights and stuff like that?
Yeah. I started weightlifting and competed at weightlifting for some time. And then I just did general weight training stuff. I competed a bit at weightlifting. Actually qualified for the national championships, but I never went as a junior, that is. And then I just did random stuff at the gym and progressed from there. Yeah. Fine grip, and then bending is what I would say is the first real thing that really caught me, where I focused all my efforts at getting good at this particular thing.
So what is it that caught you with it? You know, like, I like asking people this because, you know, there's something nice about like seeing progress, you know, having that bent piece of steel to as a trophy for your work. You know, I like to try to understand what draws them to do, because it's not a comfortable or it's a painful struggle, you know.
I have the first bar, the very first bar. Well, not the first bar, but the first PR, the first day I bent. It was a blue nail that I reverse bent. I wrote down the time and the date, and I tipped it on the nail. And I still have it somewhere in my house. So, yeah. A lot of people talk about just the feeling of bending something and have it like as a finished product. You still have the bent object. So it's just a satisfying thing. And also the feeling of bending it.
Yeah. No, I love it. It just, as a grappler, it really is as close to, you know, overcoming someone's will in a grappling match that I've felt, you know, it's nice to get a big and heavy deadlift and any PR like that. But I don't know, something about when you feel that steel start to move is a feeling unto itself.
Yeah.
Was reverse the easiest style for you right off the bat, or was it just
the right off the bat it was the best easiest style for me? But then a few months into it, I figured out double overhand, and it caught up and surpassed my reverse bending.
Interesting. So, yeah. In the research that I did of you, I saw that you have an incredibly strong reverse bend, and I thought that was interesting because when I got my nails, I didn't really do much research on technique. I was just like, okay, I'm going to just bend these things. And instinctually, I did some very odd, like almost double reverse thing where I was trying to pull a pose. And when I've given my friends that just come over the house and I just say, hey, try to bend this, I've never seen anybody else go to that, but it was very instinctual.
Where you did like that?
Yeah. Like almost at an angle to kink it. And it's just, but
we
now
used to have a lot of fun.
My worst.
We used to have a lot of fun challenging each other. Like, I think we actually did this. I think we had something where we called it the vertical bend.
Hold
the bar like this, and then you bend like that. So I think we call it the vertical bend. I don't see it ever nowadays, but.
Yeah.
Don behind the back.
Don is a big person that says you should be strong in all styles. So I'm trying to follow what he says and make sure I'm practicing reverse and double under and braced and all of it. It's similar to, you know, like I always go back to jujitsu, but the fact that I train, you know, wrestling within that and with the gi and without gi, there's like these multi facets of a sport that keeps me interested. Yeah. So within bending, the fact that I could do braced bending one day and, you know, snapping, and there's all these things
the
to
variety.
Do. I love the variety of it.
Yeah. I've coined a term. I've never really heard anyone else talk about it, but steel bending, and I suppose fighting in particular, has a lot of what I would call chaos factor. It's like, if you take powerlifting in comparison, if you lift like a deadlift, the chaos factor is very low because the bar path is very reliable. But if you were to compare a deadlift with a bar, and instead you have like something, like you're deadlifting a very aggressive farm animal or something, like a pig or a person that really doesn't want to be deadlifted, the chaos factor is going to be really high.
Yeah.
Because the forces are going to go in all kinds of directions, and you have to be able to control the forces in unpredictable ways. Bending has a lot of chaos factor into it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's the main reason why, if you take a horseshoe and you give it to a really strong person, like, you know they're strong enough to bend it, but they're struggling so much just to get a grasp of it. It's spinning out of their hands. It's just, they're not that familiar with the type of the chaos factor. So they lose a lot of their strength.
Yeah.
But as soon as they,
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Are you aware of who Daniel Strauss is?
Yeah.
Okay. So he
never interacted with him, but I know who he is.
Okay. So him being a jiu-jitsu guy that does a lot of, you know, feats of strength, that he was my segue into this. And then I found out about David Horn and so on, and just continue being inspired from him. I've been messing around with some stone lifting as well. And I'd say that you could almost like interchange the terminology of like awkward to the chaos factor, you know, like the more awkward this thing you're lifting, the more it sort of diminishes your strength, and you kind of have to adapt and overcome that. But I like that a lot about this type of training.
Yeah.
That kind of segues
has a lot of that. But of course, once you get super specialized, the chaos factor gets a little bit thrown out. Like for me, when I bent the horseshoe back in the day, there wasn't a lot of chaos factor left into it because my body would just intuitively know exactly how to push and pull, and there was no balancing. My body had an efficient way of doing it. So,
right. I think Jed Johnson had a quote something along the lines of like, so many people leave strength on the table because of improper form and technique. And that's basically exactly what you're saying, you know, as your, as your technique and form get more dialed, that, that unpredictability goes down. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So on your Instagram, you're doing some pretty cool stuff. So what kind of training are you doing these days?
Everything. I'm into a lot of like arm wrestling is my prime thing. I've just come back from a small arm wrestling competition. That's why I'm on the road now.
Oh, cool.
I had a super match, right hand and left hand. So that's my prime focus now. But I do a lot of stuff too. You see me posting some acrobatics where I lift my, well, one of them is my girlfriend, but a few of my other friends. Like, I'll lift them up one hand, two hands, like, yeah.
Yeah, that looks like, what is that called? That's just called acrobatics, or?
Yeah, it's different names. Acro yoga is what it's usually called, but I don't really like the name yoga because it's not really yoga.
Okay.
We're just lifting each other in awkward positions.
In forms, yeah. That looks like the most tremendous amount of core strength you'd need to do that. When I was looking through that, I was like, phew, that looks so hard.
Yeah. And I bet a lot of that comes from horseshoe bending. Because when I wanted to work for a human flag, I always used to bend horseshoes on my right side. And I only did a little bit left side because I was afraid of the idea of getting like too big of an imbalance. So I did some left on my left side, but the vast majority of my horseshoe bending, like 95%, was on my right side. And when I do a human flag, I'm so much stronger on my right side. I've done it with a person standing on me on my right side. I'm not even close to doing it on my left side.
Wow.
I can't think of any other reason where that strength comes from other than horseshoe bending, because that's the only way I've trained the side of my abdominals.
Interesting. Now, are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
And you're doing the horseshoes on your right side?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I use my right hand, my dominant hand, to push. Like I anchor it, I dig in my left arm, and then I straighten my arm as much as possible, and then I hold and use my body to like twist.
Wow.
So that's why the strength from the abdominals comes from, because it's not really your arms doing it. Your arm's supposed to be as straight as possible. So, because if you imagine a bench press, if you have to go through the entire motion, you're not that strong. Maybe you can bench 300 pounds or something, but if you just have to keep it at locked arms, you could do 450 pounds, maybe even more.
Yeah.
So that's the same idea with the horseshoe. You let the force come from your body and not from your arms.
Oh, wow. I'm going to try doing some. I'm right-handed, but when I do a horseshoe, I do it on my left side. I'm going to try to switch it up and see if I have any more success that way.
Yeah.
So what type of, so those are kind of some of the types of training that you're doing. Are you doing regular weightlifting? So are you just doing those things to get better at those things? Or are you doing some regular
weight? I'm just doing those things to get better at those things. I do a little bit of weight training on the side. Like once every other week or so.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I like asking people that, because I feel like it's pretty split. Some people believe firmly in I'm just going to practice what I want to get better at to get better at that. And then other people believe in the supplemental training pretty firmly.
I also believe in the supplemental training, but I just can't fit it in recovery wise because I'm split up into several different things. So I just don't have room for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm when I return to jiu-jitsu here in New York, whenever that might be, I'm curious to see what that's going to do to my lifting and bending routine, because it's just going to add another major factor in, and I don't know how I'm going to hold up, you know? All right. So do you do anything special for recovery or nutrition?
Nutrition is, if I'm low in body weight, if I'm like cutting, nutrition is really important. But if I'm in a calorie surplus, I don't think nutrition is really that important. As long as you're getting protein and you know, some vitamins, maybe some omega-3, stuff like that. But if you're in a caloric surplus, I don't think diet is that important for developing strength. Health is a different issue, but just for strength,
And anything for recovery after you're doing hard arm wrestling?
I'm going to say the same as many others, contrast baths.
Okay.
I'll put my elbow or my hand under the sink for as hot as I can for 30 seconds and then as cold as I can for 30 seconds. And I'll do that like as often as I feel like.
Yeah.
Like optimal would be twice or three times a day, but you know, when you have... that's not really going to happen. So you do it like once every third day.
Yeah. And what do you do for do you work within the fitness industry or do you have a regular day job?
No, a regular day job. Analytical chemist.
So, oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. All right. So back when you were bending frequently, I know you're doing a little bit more. I think you just posted about reverse on the red. Right. Yeah. What were some of the biggest bends, the bends that you're most proud of?
I'm going to go back to that post. Sorry for interrupting and sidelining. But that was so satisfying because I injured my left labrum 1.5 years ago. Doctor said it would never heal up. And I had no double overhand, nothing at all. And I reversed a grade 8 bolt and crushed it down, double overhand, no issues at all. No issues on my shoulder. So that felt really good. That's why I got so hyped up. Oh, I'm gonna get some red nails. I'm gonna see what I can do.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, man. So back when you were taking down certs, what are some of the ones you're most proud of?
Horseshoes, definitely. The SSP 1, the thick version of the SSP 1. That's 22 millimeters wide, 10 millimeters thick. That's the best horseshoe I did in cert conditions. And I did a whole bunch of other certs too, but that's the one I remember and shares the most.
So. Could you explain cert conditions for horseshoes? I wasn't even aware of those.
We have a limit to the amount of wraps you can use. You have to roll up the wraps and fit it through a hole that's 1.25 inches in diameter.
Okay.
So relatively thick pads. But and you have to do it in, God, I forget the time. I think 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. And you have to bend the horseshoe past 180 degrees.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So something I think of a lot, and just in my experience so far, that another reason why I don't think I'll ever stop bending as long as I can physically take it is people talk about farm strength or functional strength. And, you know, what I'm kind of starting to believe is that's tendon strength. And that's hard to create in the gym. You know, you can't really just, that's why people that work in the trades are just so strong. And, you know, like when they shake your head, you know it. And
it's the same in arm wrestling.
Yeah,
and I've heard in grappling as well. Like you get a plumber or a carpenter or like a mechanic. Usually, they are a lot stronger than someone that's just acquired their strength through regular gym training.
Absolutely, and I've also learned in my time grappling is you just based on the way someone looks has truly nothing to do with how strong they are. You know, maybe if they're cut up, they'll be strong. But I've had many times where a very average looking person just feels like some type of gorilla. And you know, the guy that was shredded doesn't feel all that strong, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe that's, you know, that functional or farm strength. And I feel like through bending, that is one way to develop that. Would you agree?
I agree to a point.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get good at something, it's like you have to do that thing.
Yep.
It's like if you take arm wrestling, for example, if you're an experienced steel bender, you are going to benefit. It's going to improve your arm wrestling, but only up to a certain point. It's like you're going to be able to take most amateurs if you're a really elite steel bender, assuming that you're also strong in your pulling muscles, like your bicep and your lat and overall form development, but you're not going to have a good shot against a pro arm wrestler, not without actually being an arm wrestler.
Yeah.
And I would assume in jiu-jitsu as well, in most martial arts. Yeah.
Do you think that becomes a, like a technical, basically the edge is just experience and technique more than strength at that point? Because the little bit I've heard people talk about arm wrestling is it very much is that you're wrestling. So there's a give and take and a strategy, and timing. It's not just, I'm going to just go 110% and try to pin their arm. There's some technique to it, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's a strength-based combat sport.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of strategy involved, a lot of, knowing your opponent, knowing yourself, being familiar with the hand positions and feeling their hand and your hand and knowing where to go and where to not go.
Yeah. I'd like to try it again. It's funny, when I first started jiu-jitsu, when I was 22 actually as well, and one summer at a party, I arm wrestled somebody, and I think I gave myself like tennis elbow, and I basically had such hindered use of my dominant hand that I said, I don't think I'm ever going to do this again, because when I went back to jiu-jitsu and tried to grab the collar, I just had no strength in my hand, and it was obviously not being as strong as I thought I was and improper technique and being young and dumb and stuff. But
in arm wrestling, you have to sacrifice pretty much the first year of just having elbow issues, shoulder issues, wrist issues. I mean, if you wrestle safe and within your ability and never go 100%, then you can stay healthy and pain-free. But if you go 100%, you're definitely going to be have pain issues from time to time.
Yeah. And getting into the arm wrestling, was that just a natural segue from the grip to bending and then?
Yeah. I always interested in arm wrestling. Even when I was into grip, I was interested in arm wrestling. I just didn't have any team close to me to do it.
Is that a fairly big sport in Sweden, or is that fairly niche as well?
I'd say it's it's pretty. I mean, it's niche if you compare it to soccer or hockey or something like that. But if you compare it to powerlifting, I'd say arm wrestling is bigger in Sweden than powerlifting is.
Wow, so, that's interesting.
If you go by the numbers of athletes pursuing it.
Yeah. And how many years have you been doing arm wrestling now?
4.5 years.
Wow. So, and is there titles and stuff in that, or how does like qualification work for that?
There are different types. You have nationals and you have like tournaments and local tournaments. Now we have a super match system in my parts of Sweden. We're three different clubs that have gone together in a ranking system. So we set up super matches and.
Cool.
As a substitutes, because due to the COVID, no real nor normal tournaments are. Going anymore. So now we just have the super matches. We're the smaller venues. There's only a few guys there.
Yeah, that's very much the way they're doing jiu-jitsu tournaments here in the States right now. It's pretty much very limited crowd, if any, and then just the athletes.
Yeah.
So have you got, I know we touched on reverse on the red. Is that still something you hope to do?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, but not right away. But I think a few months training, I should be able to reverse the red.
Okay. Do you have any other goals as far as bending right now?
No. I do a lot of scrolling now. Cool. Just bending, like 6mm nails, 7mm nails.
Yeah.
Just scrolling into different shapes for fun mostly.
Yeah. No, that's impressive. I've seen it online.
Yeah.
And how about goals outside of bending and the other stuff that you're up to?
Yeah, I just want to improve. I would like to have a national title in arm wrestling.
Great. That's cool. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to take you through the medley. This is just a rapid series of questions.
Yeah.
Some of these I can already bet I know the answer to based on what we've already covered. But
Really?
Favorite thing to bend?
The horseshoe. Yeah.
Hardest
At least
thing
if you go hardest thing to bend is, I would say, strict double underhand style. And yeah. Strict, I mean, hands close together, wraps touching or very close, like yep. Strict reverse. If I have the wraps on the outside and wrap them shallow and I can put a little bit of chest into it, then it's no problem. But just strict double underhand. I've always had a little bit of I'm weaker relatively in that style compared to my other styles.
All right. Strongest bending style for you?
Yeah. Horseshoes and reverse bending.
All right. Something outside of training, bending, strength, feats in general that you enjoy?
Yeah, body weight feats and lifting people. Yeah.
What about something outside of anything that requires any bit of physicality? Just some other hobby.
Like personal life? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any other hobbies that don't involve strength.
Is that right?
Like, yeah. yeah, it's my work, but yeah, other than that, yeah,
that rules. That's great. Yeah. People have said like cooking or bird watching or something. I like that. It's strength or nothing. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, what's the one bend that got away, something you attempted that you could never put down?
I forget the type, but it's a horseshoe, a workman. I think it's long-heeled four. Might be wrong, but it's the horseshoe I injured myself on 2013. So
okay,
and really hard shoe. It was one of the shoes that me and Jason Bergman was like secretly working on. We were gonna put it on the top of the list.
Nice.
I got a good bend on it, and then I injured myself.
All right. How about the strongest person you know or have ever met? So.
Strongest person I know or have ever met the strongest person I've met in person is Ungar Bayev, an arm wrestler. I think people call him the Bruce Lee kid or something. He had a super match with Levon like last year. So, yeah, ridiculously strong.
And how about...
Otherwise, it's Jason Bergman. If we're talking steel bending, it's Jason Bergman.
Okay.
Yeah. It was fascinating watching him develop in this sport.
Is he from the States or is he in Sweden as well?
He's from the state. He was originally into strongman. World's strongest man finalist 2 times. Maybe more if I'm not mistaken. I think he had some sort of injury or issue where he gave up strongman. And for a year, he was super into steel bending, like really, really into horseshoes. Yeah, like really into it.
I haven't heard his name yet. I just scribbled it down. I haven't come across any of his stuff yet.
Yeah, it's all gone from YouTube. But,
oh.
Yeah, he used to post like 20-minute long instructional videos on training and bending. Uh-huh. And yeah, he was really into it and strong as you wouldn't imagine.
Wow, like, maybe track him down.
Yeah.
All right, best piece of advice you were ever given. This could be about strength or just life in general.
Just keep doing what you enjoy. For steel bending, if you enjoy like double overhand and you don't care about reverse or double underhand or anything else, don't bother. Just do what you like. That would be my advice. So don't do something because you think you have to. Just do what you enjoy doing.
Yeah, that's good advice. On the recommendation of Don Cummings in isometric training. I was doing some research on Steve Justa. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Justa. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I recognize the name, but I can't place him.
Real wild man from like the middle of America, like lifts up a truck and, you know, does, he wrote a book called Stone, Iron and Steel, I think. And anyway,
he's one of his, from way back. I think I remember. Yeah.
Real crazy dude. Like he does his own soundtrack to his YouTube videos. Really cool. Really wild stuff. But in my research on him, he basically said exactly what you just said. It's like, if you want to progress well in something, you have to like it to some degree, you know, like you can't hate it and have it be not satisfying at all. It's, or else it's never going to go. So I've definitely been trying to keep that on my mind, because I'm certainly someone that's susceptible of like just trying to be so well-rounded that I'll do things that I don't really even enjoy. I don't really like to back squat all that much, to be honest, you know? So I've been doing more sandbag squats like Daniel Strauss and stuff. You know, I feel like there's, just because that's what's suggested doesn't necessarily mean you have to follow it. You can find ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the same problem, but totally opposite. There's so many things I want to do. So I'm dividing my efforts so much that I'm struggling to progress in everything at once.
Yeah, I can relate to that for sure. It's like, I don't think I'll move on from bending or really, but I'm definitely someone, my wife, you know, would tell you like, when I get into something, I get into it very, very deeply and hard, you know, to the point where I'll literally dream about it at night. You know?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I was talking to a former guest, Tom Flesher, and he does some strongman competitions, and I don't know when I'll feel comfortable grappling strangers again, you know? And so I'm considering maybe doing a strongman competition that's a little bit more socially distant, say. And so I was researching that in the last few days and adjusting my training to be more like that for the normal weight stuff. Mm. And I was watching the Arnold Classic last night before I went to sleep, and I dreamt about strongman training last night, you know? It doesn't get shut off for me, you know? All right. And how about the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spend your time bending things?
Funniest reaction is, most reactions I've had is positive. But the funniest is, it's pretty odd, but I have a friend, Sara Lumholt. It's actually the brunette from 18. So that was like the music band from like a decade ago. She found out that I was steel bending, and she was putting up a show in a theater in Stockholm. And she said, you have to be on the show as a strong man and bend steel. So that's what I did. I showed up and bent a bunch of steel over my head as a part of the show. Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's the funniest and the most like, lucrative response.
Oh, that's cool. All right, so in closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
Mike Rinderle. You gotta get Mike Rinderle on the show. Strong dude, been in it for a long time, really funny guy. I bet he'd be real easy to have a podcast with.
I actually I'm in contact with him. I was supposed to have
you are
him earlier this week, but my work schedule interfered, but he will be rescheduled. Yeah. So he'll be on for sure.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Otherwise, I think it's guys that Ivan Biratishvili. I'm sure I'm butchering his name, but he's a Russian guy.
Okay.
Ivan Biratishvili. I can write to you later his name so you can spell it. He'd be really interested to have on. Because he'll be a little bit more familiar with the Russian and the Eastern side.
Yeah, I like that. There's another really strong, or maybe he's not from Sweden, I'm not sure. The kid who did a gold nail like in a gym locker room. Do you know who I'm talking about? Is he from Sweden?
No, I don't recognize it.
Trying to think. I can't think of his name. I'll mention it later. All right. What about tips and advice for beginner benders?
Yeah, start light. Be careful at the start because you might injure your wrists. Do volume work at first and then work up from there, cool. I would say. And then once you're into it, isometric is a real efficient way to get stronger. But I would say at least give it 6 months before you go into heavy isometrics.
Right. And where can people find you as far as social media stuff, if you want to be found, I guess?
Yeah, best is on Instagram or on Facebook. Just type in my name, David Wigren.
All right.
I sometimes don't respond immediately because if it's bending related, it's like, it's so long ago. So it's hard to get into it again. So,
yeah,
but I usually respond within like at least a week or two.
Hit you up with the arm wrestling questions these days.
I'll answer within a minute.
All right. And lastly, any events, brands or gear you want to shout out?
I have a friend who has a store, armsportstore.com.
Okay.
He's selling some stuff like some rolling handles, some prehab workout equipment, and also rubber bands. So,
right on. All right, David, anything else you want to say in closing?
I can't think of anything. Keep doing what you're doing. It's a real good thing to have a podcast for steel bending.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think steel bending is making a resurgence. It was big before, but now I think it's getting bigger.
Yeah, I do too. What year would you say it was like peak? I think Derek said 2011.
For him, yeah. For me, I'd say I peaked 2011 to 2013. That was my
not necessarily like a personal peak, but just like peak as far as the community, like the most amount of people.
I would say 2011. Yeah, I would say that.
Okay,
that was 2011 because that's we had a separate forum called the steelbenders.org.
Oh, okay,
and it was relatively big. So we had steelbenders.org and we had the grip board. We had a lot of activity, I would say. From 2008 to 2011, I would say that those years were the peaks on the forums. But I'd say these days, it's so spread out. You have YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, and a whole other bunch of things. Probably some Russian forums as well. So I'd say, just the amount of people bending today is probably more than it was back in 2011.
Yeah, I agree. All right, David. Well, thanks so much for being on, and I'll be in touch soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye.
Super. Thank you.